Roya Hakakian is a poet and has published two collections of her work. Plus, she is also an essayist. Those essays have appeared in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and NPR's All Things Considered. Her new book, A Beginner's Guide to America for the Immigrant and the Curious, is a glimpse into the bewildering American immigrant experience from someone who has lived it. Also, a mirror held up to America. Roya is an immigrant herself, and she reveals what those who settle here love about the country and what they miss about their homes, the cruelty of some Americans and the unceasing generosity of others. She captures the texture of life in a new place and all its complexity, laying bare both its beauty and its darkness. Again, the name of the book is A Beginner's Guide to America for the Immigrant and the Curious, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Roya Hakakian to the roundtable this morning. Roya, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted.
What brought you, as an immigrant, to write A Beginner's Guide to America?
The year 2016 was the impetus behind this book. And the reason is because there was a lot of suddenly highly anti-immigrant rhetoric that was exceptionally unusual for me, both as a naturalized American citizen and as a former refugee and immigrant to this country, to hear from my compatriots. And when the Muslim ban was placed, especially on the countries that included my homeland, Iran, as well, I thought that I had been called to service, that as if, you know, everybody gets a turn in America to perform an act of patriotism. And I suddenly felt that this was the thing that I had to do, that I had to clear the air about what the immigrant experience is like and why so many of us, naturally, not all of us, but so many of us come to this country.
You settled in the United States in 1985. Does the timing make a difference in the sense of that the climate was different then than it is now? Or are the roots of the issues were always the roots of the issues and will maybe always be the roots of the issues?
That's an excellent question. I think the latter is the answer. In other words, there are certain demons, certain questions, certain issues that we seem to keep going over and over. You know, who should come in? Who deserves to be an American? Who should we keep out? These are questions that we, from the very beginning, from 1776 onward, have been struggling with. And I think we have just arrived at a new chapter in that continuous history. What was very interesting about my own experience in 2016 and the decision that led me to write this book was that I was hearing, you know, this talk that we should only allow immigrants who speak English. We should only allow immigrants who have a special skill. We should only allow immigrants who have, you know, a exceptional talent. And you know, by those three standards, I should have never been allowed to come to this country. And I found that incredibly terrifying, incredibly terrifying, because I was only 18. And of course, I didn't have special skills. And of course, I didn't have wealth. And no, I didn't speak English then, but I think I'm doing a pretty good job now. So I thought it was incredibly important to speak to these truths and make clear that the reason I feel that I am an American patriot today is because America opened its doors onto me when I was that immigrant, when I was the immigrant without English, when I was the immigrant without skills, when I was the immigrant without wealth. And it is because of those reasons, because that I was still accepted despite everything that I lacked, that I have become an American entirely invested in this country and in this nation.
And by doing this beginner's guide, you also show an America that those of us who were born in this country may not be able to see. Those signs of yes, democracy that can be invisible if you've never lived anywhere else.
Precisely. I think that you guys, and I'm sorry if I'm just bundling you up with everyone else, but I think that those who've been born and raised in this country are and perhaps have become incapable of recognizing the daily signs of democracy, the small, you know, almost miraculous gifts that this system gives us that makes our lives so much more comfortable and so much pleasurable. You know, the reason, you know, our traffic rules work the way they do, the reason we don't honk at each other endlessly in traffic jams, the reason we have these laws that you know, however imperfectly, still work and protect us, is because we have a system in which every individual is equal before the eyes of the law. And yes, you know, the system breaks down and doesn't work properly at all times. But because we have this, we are able to trust enough in the system to abide by these rules, by these laws. You know, and you just go to any other country that does not have that is not ruled by the rule of law, and you will see that even traffic doesn't work. Even you know, even the smallest things that we do so easily here will no longer be in effect there because people don't trust the system, and therefore they don't trust that the laws are there to protect them. So we have to recognize, I believe, these small signs of democracy, not just a big thing like the every 4-year electoral, you know, cycle that comes around, but the small daily gifts that make our lives so much easier and comfortable that are in fact the signs of democracy that those of us who have been born and raised here may not be able to see, but must recognize if we are to protect this democracy.
Roya Hakakian is the author of the new book, A Beginner's Guide to America for the Immigrant and the Curious. You make the point in the book, and I think it's a fascinating one, and I hope you will explain it to us, of why America, compared to other places, is a much better destination for immigrants. With all of its faults, and there are many, it is still a desired location for immigrants.
It is, which isn't to say that we ought not to strive to be better, and which isn't to say that, of course, in light of all this anti-Asian hostility, that we don't have imperfections and flaws that we certainly need to address. But the truth is that despite all this, compared to all other Western nations, we have been a far more amenable and a far more desired and better destination for immigrants than any other Western country in the world. And you know, what's very ironic is that there's a comfort, there's a sense of consolation that we can draw from the fact that nearly every immigrant community, regardless of what background they come from, has been discriminated against at one point or another throughout America's history. That, in fact, in a very bizarre way, the thing that America has been indiscriminate about has been discriminating against everybody at one point or another. You know, Benjamin Franklin wanted to keep the Germans out. He thought Russians weren't white enough. Later on, at the end of the 18th century, the French were discriminated against because we didn't, you know, we were at somewhat of a, you know, standoff with France. Later on, Chinese immigrants were under prohibition, and so on and so forth, until, you know, the Irish were unwelcome and Italians were unwelcome and Jews came on ships running away from the Holocaust in World War II, and their ships were sent back to the death camps. So we have done this throughout history. But the thing that we can take heart from, the thing that's encouraging, is that, yes, we have discriminated, but within a generation or two, we have also made room. We have also embraced and accepted these communities, and they have also been able to weave themselves into the tapestry, into the fabric of this country.
And you also make the point, in concert with that, that in coming to this country, you benefit from the struggles for equal rights by African Americans, that you benefit from those struggles and what they have done in order to make a more equal society. And obviously, that work continues.
Absolutely. I think it's very hard, and it was for me, to see the connection between between the history of racism in this country, between the struggles of African Americans, and my own status as an immigrant in this country. And, you know, it took me a long time, because in the beginning I thought, oh, you know, it's very unfortunate that this happens to be part of the American history, this stain on America's past. But in thinking about it, I have become a beneficiary of that struggle, that the way African Americans have fought for decades to become equal citizens has opened up a space, a public place for all of us who are different from mainstream Americans, from whatever perception we have about what an American should look like or be like, for the rest of us, for us immigrants who come from other places, to fit in, to become equal citizens. I think a great part of the reason why immigrants in this country have had a more, as you and I were just talking about it, an easier time assimilating and belonging, is because African Americans have constantly forced the rest of America to think about the issue of belonging, to think about, you know, how it is that they need to make room for everyone, how it is that we need to expand the space for, you know, the other, who also shares in the principles and the values of this country, to become an American and to be part of this tradition. And I think every immigrant needs to see how much it is that we owe to their longstanding struggle.
As we talk on this final day of March, when this interview is recorded, there is in the headlines just a horrific story of a woman in her 60s, an Asian American, who was kicked and beaten on the streets of New York City. And it obviously goes to an overall awareness and concern about Asian Americans in this country in recent months. But of course, a history that is very troubled and very problematic and has gone back for decades, if not for centuries. So what do we make of that, as if it seems, because it is discouraging when you hear of these cases once again, of like, oh, God, have we learned anything?
Mm-hmm. Precisely. And I think what's stunning and also very sobering is that her attacker was Black. And so it makes one point really clear, that all of us, regardless of race, religion, ethnicity, are prone to evil. That it is very easy that if we lose sight of the fundamental values of, you know, egalitarianism, the fundamental values upon which this nation was built, however imperfect that they were at the time that they were written. If we lose sight of those principles, if we forget that we are a country that has been built on the fundamental belief that everyone, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of ethnicity or religion, we're all equal. we should treat each other as equals, then it doesn't matter what color we are or what religion we are. We are all prone to repeating the evils, even if we have been victims of it in the past. It is a position that requires constant learning and relearning and constant vigilance by all of us. Nobody's off the hook. We all need to be working at this and exercising this. And it also makes another point really clear, that when we choose, you know, leaders for, you know, say a president because he happens to, you know, be for the sort of tax cuts that we like, and we forego all the other thing that leader stands for, we create circumstances or usher in, you know, forces that may entirely undermine who we are and what we stand for, just because, you know, that leader happens to, you know, do one thing right in the way that we like. We, you know, Donald Trump is not the reason why there is anti-Asian hatred in America today. We've had anti-American, anti-Asian hatred for a long time in this country. However, the fact that he rose to power and the fact that he fanned the flame is the reason why it has spread and it has become far more prevalent. And we need to then make sure that when we go to the voting booths, we consider more than our own immediate interests when we are electing our leaders.
The simple question that I have for you is, so what, after writing a book like this, how do you view assimilation? And as you write about it and as you talk about it in the book, it's very nuanced, isn't it?
It is. You know, I think there's a magical mix that goes into assimilation, as we talk about it. In America, unlike any other Western country, we assimilate. We all become ultimately Americans, and gladly so for most of us. But we do so because our individual traditions are welcome and embraced. So once we come here and we recognize that, in my own case, we can, in fact, be Iranians here. We can, in fact, uphold our own traditions. We can, in fact, celebrate our own New Year's and our own festivals. It is then that we recognize that because we are being recognized, because we are being respected, because we are being embraced for what we bring in, for our roots, that we then turn around and embrace America in return. So it is that initial acceptance by everybody else who's already been here, by the native-born American, of others who arrive, and of their roots, traditions, identities, that then allow the rest of us to wish to become one with this nation of nations. And I think this is truly unprecedented, and it allows for us to be two things at the same time, to be these hyphenated people that we are, you know, Iranian-American, Jewish-American, Italian-American, you know, Mexican-American, but American at the bottom of it all.
I was struck, and I guess we'll end with this, but I was struck by what you said a moment ago about, you know, Donald Trump didn't start all this. This has been going on for centuries. And I agree, of course, but it did seem to underscore the fragility of it all, of just how fragile that acceptance and understanding and empathy are in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, this isn't unique to us. Throughout history, no matter how accomplished and how civilized nations have been, difficult circumstances, whether economic crises or political crises, can bring out the worst among people. It's not something that's happening to us, which is unprecedented. It happened in Germany in World War II. You know, it happens everywhere all the time, which is why that no matter how civilized, how accomplished, how equal and egalitarian we become, there is a crisis, in this particular case, the pandemic, which was followed by an economic crisis, we all then become prone to regressing, to returning to all the worst things that we have once been. Because that's what crises do to people. Crises have a tendency to to bring out the worst in people, to create, to force people to begin to look into reasons to blame for what it is, the situation that it is they're in. And so we need to be aware that, first of all, this happens, that part of history includes these reactions to moments of crisis. And we need to also be equally vigilant about making sure that we understand what it is that we must do and how it is that we remain Americans. We remain Americans by being inclusive. We have become this unique power in the world, not because we have been puritanical or we have wanted to be only one race, but because we have unusually allowed this historic mix of people to come together in one country and all become one. And if we lose that, it isn't that we are doing the immoral thing. We are doing the immoral thing. But first and foremost, we cease to become America and we cease to be Americans. And therefore, we lose our magic. We lose what it is that has made us as strong as we are today.
Roya Hakakian is the author of the new book, A Beginner's Guide to America for the Immigrant and the Curious. The book is published by Knopf. Roya, a great pleasure to speak with you. I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, A Beginner's Guide to America by Roya Hakakian. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.